I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 10. Talking this morning about the true shepherd. And Jesus continues his conversation here with the Pharisees that he'd been talking with. About the blind man, about blindness in the previous chapter. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there should be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in each one of our lives. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love for us. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the true good shepherd. We see that he has demonstrated that in so many ways to us. Father, help us to understand more about you, more about what Christ has done on our behalf, more about your love for us today. And I pray that our love for you would grow, our knowledge of you would increase, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage and challenge our hearts this morning. I pray that what I say will be accurate according to your word. I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So these Pharisees that Jesus was talking to had taken offense when he said, in the end of chapter 9, he says, "If you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They took offense at that. And they, what, we are blind too? We're blind already? So, yeah, basically you are. You are blind. You are spiritually blind. Obviously, because of their blindness, they could not understand the truths that Jesus was teaching. And in chapter 10 here, Jesus gives a parable and he again confronts their religious deception. The first thing we see here, as Jesus tells this parable in verses 1 through 5, and they didn't understand. The first thing we see here that Jesus talks about is the contrast between thieves and shepherds. In verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And this verse calls those men thieves who try to place themselves in a position of leadership in the church outside of the authority of God. They try to come in and take over things, take over leadership their own way, without going through God's authority and God's ways. They are called they call themselves shepherds of God's sheep, but they have entered into that position by man's appointment or by their own ways rather than by God's ways and God's leading. Let me share a couple passages with you that God talks about shepherds. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 10 through 12, he talks about the shepherds here. Isaiah 56, 10, he says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own, for his gain from his quarter. Come, ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. What do we see there? It's all for themselves. It's all for their own gain. It's all for their own name. Another one is Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 25 to 28. Ezekiel 22, verse 25. Says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed a difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. And so here we see people placing themselves into positions of leadership, placing themselves into positions of responsibility over God's people, who are not fulfilling that responsibility God's way, or they're doing it for their own gain. They're taking advantage of people, and they're doing it in order to better themselves. And though the Pharisees didn't understand what Jesus was saying, he seems to be referring directly to these people, directly back to them. They considered themselves leaders of the people. Considered the Pharisees kind of to put themselves up on that pedestal, says, follow us, do what we're doing. And they had done so by establishing their own criteria and forcing people into their mold and making people say, you need to follow us instead of following Christ. And Jesus calls them thieves and robbers because they are stealing away the eternal souls of men by teaching them false doctrine and keeping them from turning to the true Messiah. And he says, oftentimes he says, you're teaching them one thing, but you're turning them and keeping them from receiving the truth. They're also stealing that leadership position for their own gain. Unfortunately, we see that in many churches today. When men draw in large crowds in order to profit themselves, they live lavish lifestyles, and they live according to similar to what the world would live under the guise of being a pastor, when in reality, they're deceiving people into believing that Christianity is just something that you can have a Sunday ritual for God, but then you can go and live like the world the rest of the week. And as a result of that, people are not truly coming to Christ. They're simply salving their consciences on Sunday so that they think they can live like they want the rest of the week. And their thieves and robbers are stealing away the souls of people by deceiving people and thinking, well, you just have to put on this air on Sunday and you'll be fine. Romans 16, 18 says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the people. Christ calls them thieves and robbers. But the shepherd, on the other hand, enters the fold by the door. He is called of God to the position of that leadership. He's called to lead the sheep. He's given that responsibility. He comes under the authority and direction of God's word, and he realizes his own responsibility to the sheep. He realizes that he needs to be a steward of the sheep, and so he has no problem entering into the door, because the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the great shepherd has made him an under-shepherd over those sheep. And so we see here the contrast between thieves and shepherds. But then we see in verses 2 through 4 the character of the shepherd. And Jesus gives several characteristics here of what a true shepherd is with the sheep. First of all, in verse 2, he says, he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. We see that implied in verse 1, but Jesus emphasizes again. He says the true shepherd is the one who is, again, put in that position, but the sheep belong to him. He knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He knows where to lead his sheep. And so, again, he has no problem, no hesitation or fear of entering the sheepfold by the door. Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." As I stand in this position this morning, in this pulpit this morning, that God has placed me, and I realize I have to be a steward of what God has given me. I have a responsibility to feed the flock. I have a responsibility to make sure I'm giving accurate and good food, not food tainted with worldly poison. And I make sure I give it in a right way, and I'm going to feed the church. But he says here in this verse, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, this isn't my church. This is God's church. This is the body of Christ. It's his body, and we need to be stewards of what he has given us. And so a shepherd will go in by the door. The second thing we see here is in verse 3, it says, "To him the porter openeth." And again, it speaks of the authority that the shepherd is given to care for the sheep. And in that day, the fold was often a large enclosure that the shepherds of various shepherds would bring their sheep into this one enclosure for the night. And then they would have a watchman or a porter that would place himself at the door of that sheepfold in order to protect the sheep. And so in the morning, when the shepherds returned to the sheepfold to get their sheep, so the porter would then open the door for the shepherds to come in. Now, if there was somebody there that didn't belong, the porter, of course, wouldn't open the door. He says, "No, you're not going in. These aren't your sheep." And so a true shepherd is one when he comes to the sheepfold, the porter opens the door. The watchman opens the door for the shepherd. We see, thirdly, the sheep hear his voice in verse 3. It says, "He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out," or his sheep hear his voice. His sheep recognize his voice. Most people would consider sheep a dumb animal. You look at sheep and say, really, they're pretty dumb. But you think about the fact that they are trained to recognize the shepherd's voice. They have ears that are tuned to their shepherd. And Jesus states this again in verse 4. He says, "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 16, he says, "They shall hear my voice." Verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." The best illustration that I can give of something I've seen in this is when I was in Alaska as a teenager. They had sled dog teams. And we go and we watch these sled dog races. And you could have 10 to 15 sled dog teams running in this race. But every one of these sled dog teams had a driver, had a leader that led that team. And he's riding on the back of this sled, and he's yelling commands to his lead dog as to which direction he's supposed to go, or whether he's to slow down, whether to speed up, whatever he's supposed to do. That lead dog was trained to recognize that master's voice. And sheep are trained to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And so the sheep hear his voice. They recognize his voice. They know the shepherd. And again, a shepherd goes in and tries to call sheep that doesn't belong to that flock. The sheep are just going to keep doing what they do. A shepherd, the sheep hear his voice. And then we see here also in verse 3, "He calleth his own sheep by name." This shows again how the shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd has to know the needs of his sheep. He has to know where to take his sheep to get the nourishment they need. Maybe they need to go to water first. Maybe they need to go out to the field first and eat for a little while. The shepherd has to know, are some of my sheep suffering from some hurt or injury? Are some of my sheep susceptible to wandering away? He needs to keep them close by. And so the shepherd knows his sheep, and the shepherd is going to take the time to get to know them. And then it says he leadeth them out. Sheep can't be driven unless you have a good sheepdog. But again, you look at the difference. When a sheepdog or two sheepdogs are driving sheep, what does it look like? Have you ever watched something like that where sheepdogs are driving sheep? Why are they having to drive them? Because the sheep are bolting off. And so the sheepdogs are having to keep going around the edges of the flock to keep them headed in one direction. But what happens when a shepherd leads the sheep? They follow the shepherd. Sheep can't be driven as well as if they'll follow the shepherd. And the shepherd will lead them out. Sheep will also not usually choose the best path on their own. They must have guidance. And shepherds must know where to lead the sheep. They must be prepared to lead the sheep to the place where they can get the best food, the water, and the rest that they need. And so a shepherd will lead his sheep. The phrase, "he goeth before them," in verse 4 also reemphasizes the fact that the shepherd is leading his sheep. He goes before his sheep. It also provides the fact that he's an example to his sheep. Okay? Again, speaking of somebody in leadership, it's important for that person to be an example. If I'm up here and I'm preaching that you ought not to love the world, you ought to do the things of the world, and then I go out and I'm involved in worldly entertainment, I'm filling my mind with worldly music, and I'm going to places that are ungodly places to be in, am I providing the right example? No. I need to be providing a good example to those who are responsible for. So he leadeth them out. And then in verses 4 and 5, he says, "The sheep follow him. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." It would be futile for a shepherd to try to lead another sheep, shepherd's sheep. Again, the sheep will not follow. They don't recognize his voice. Sheep will follow a shepherd who has proven himself by his care for the sheep. And a sheep will follow their shepherd. And so we see that Jesus talks about the characteristics of a shepherd. Jesus gives this parable to the scribes and Pharisees, but their spiritual blindness keeps him from understanding the truth that he's trying to teach. And so he comes in verse 7, and he speaks the same truth in a more direct way. Remember, he's tried to tell these people that he is a Messiah, but they've rejected him and they rejected his message. But he just basically point blank says in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. It is by my authority that I come, but it's also that I am the shepherd." And he'll talk about that here in a minute. He says, "I am the door. I am the one who by authority the shepherds are given over the sheep. But I am also the shepherd." The sheepfold belongs to God. The sheep are those who belong to God. And the shepherds are those who lead the sheep. The first thing we see here is that Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says, "I am the only way." We talked about that in Sunday school. The only way to Christ, the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Say, people will say, "Well, yeah, but what about this way?" There's no other way. You trust in another way, and you come to the end of your life, you're going to find that that way didn't work. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only way for anyone to come to the Father for salvation and to receive eternal life. And many religions have tried to define other ways for man to gain salvation. But those ways are always dependent upon man in some way or another. "I've got to do something to earn my salvation." No, Christ already finished it. We simply have to accept what he's done as sufficient and receive him as our Savior. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Again, he's the door of the sheep. He's the authority over the sheep. He's not letting anyone else in. And so he is the one that has all authority. He is the only way that people can be saved. It's only by the authority of God's word that men can lead other believers. Okay? God has given men according to his word that he wants to lead. And it's only by God's authority that men can really lead other believers. These Pharisees were trying to teach people that the way to come into a right standing with God was by keeping the letter of the law. By making sure you washed your hands, by making sure you kept the Sabbath, by making sure you didn't do work on the Sabbath, by making sure you just followed the exact rules of the law, the letter of the law. But they missed the truth that the law was given to show man that he was incapable of keeping the law. I mean, you look at the Old Testament, you read through the law that was given to them. Can you imagine living in that day and trying to keep all those? Can you imagine having it plastered on the wall? You got to go here, I missed it again. I missed another one. I failed another one. There were so many things that they had to follow. What was the purpose of that? To show them they were failures? No. To show them that they couldn't keep the law without Christ. Christ had to be the salvation. Christ had to be the deliverance from the curse of the law. And so the Pharisees were trying to teach keeping the law was what you made right standing with God, but they missed the truth that man was incapable of keeping the law, that he already had broken God's law, and the only way to be saved from the penalty of that law was to trust Christ as Savior and accept God's way of salvation. But for these Pharisees, that meant they had to admit they were wrong. They had to admit that what they were teaching was false teaching, and that they had to accept the fact that Christ was the Messiah. And it came down to admitting they didn't have the authority that they had raised up for themselves. And so Christ says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the authority. I'm the one that has the authority over the sheep. The second thing we see here is he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, verses 8 and verse 10. And Jesus is not saying that every prophet, every preacher of truth was a thief or a robber. There were those who did not come through the door, however. There are those who tried to make themselves the authority, and they were destroying the sheep. Again, let me read for you Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 through 10. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. It became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, as saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So Jesus says, I can't allow them to keep on being shepherds. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. He says, I can't allow that to continue. In verse 10, Jesus says what thieves do. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the fact that they're called thieves says that they're focused on gain only for themselves. Have you ever seen a thief that broke into a house and said, hey, I want to give you something? Not usually. Usually thieves are wanting to take for themselves. And here Jesus says that the way that they will achieve that is through stealing that which does not belong to them. It's through killing. It's through bringing destruction. Anyone who tries to steal sheep from the fold, who deceive people into believing that they are on their way to heaven but are still condemned to hell, who destroy people's lives by taking advantage of them financially, emotionally, mentally, whatever, these people will face a greater condemnation. They have a greater responsibility to be stewards of what God has given them over God's flock. In Matthew 23, 13 through 15, it says, But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he lays it out for him. He says, guys, this is what you're doing. You're not even going to heaven yourself. You're not even on, you haven't even accepted Christ yourself as the Messiah. But because you're not willing to do that, you're willing to deceive other people so that they too will reject him and they too are on their way to hell. He says, because of that, men, you are in greater condemnation because of what you've done. He goes on in the end of verse 10 and verse 11. He says, I am come they might have life. He says here, I am come they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's quite a contrast to the false shepherds who are destroying the sheep. Even back in verse 9, Jesus says that anyone who comes through him will be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That sounds completely different from stealing and killing and destroying. The only thing that following false teaching will bring is death. But to follow Christ and accept his gift of salvation brings abundant life. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what the good shepherd does. How is Christ the good shepherd able to give life? Verse 11 tells us that. I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How is he able to give life? He is able to do that because he gave his life for the sheep. And for some people, that may seem like it doesn't make sense, but really it's rather quite simple. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us has broken God's law. Romans 6:23 says, the consequences for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The thing that we owe because we are sinners is death. We serve the consequences of sin, which is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. But God has given us a gift that says, I'm willing to give you this gift because I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross to pay that penalty, to suffer the death so that you wouldn't have to. And so we see in verses 17 and 18 of John chapter 10, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He took it up again. He gave his life for us. He died on the cross in our place, but he took it up again when he rose from the dead, becoming the victor over sin and death. That's how he's able to give life, and life abundantly. And that is how Jesus can be called a good shepherd, because he gives his life for the sheep. You think back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David is talking to Saul, he says, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. What is that? It's a shepherd giving his life. David was willing to risk his own life for the sake of the sheep. Christ wasn't just risking his life. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life for the sheep. In John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, Jesus again contrasts a good shepherd with a hireling. He says, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling won't protect the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's only cared about his own hide, his own skin. And so he'll take off when trouble comes. He'll take off when threatening comes, when danger comes. But in verses 14 and verse 16, we see the care that Jesus has for his sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. He says, I know who they are. I know who they are that I want to bring to my fold. He knows us better than we know ourselves because he made us. He knows how we are made. He knows our physical, our mental capacity or capability. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows our needs. He knows exactly what is needed to meet those needs. He is the good shepherd. But he also wants to bring as many sheep into the fold as he can. And it's not for his benefit, but it's for the benefit of the sheep. So they'd be under his protection, under his watch care, under his leading. As you look at this passage and you think of how Christ said, I am the good shepherd. When all these people were trying to deceive the multitudes and say, well, let's do it this way. And Christ says, no, this is the truth. This is the way. I am the good shepherd. I will lead them in the truth. I will lead them in the right way. We can be encouraged that the good shepherd does not just care for us long enough to get us into the fold. He continues to care for us. He continues to provide for us. He continues to lead us and guide us all the way through life until one day he will gather us all together to heaven to be with him for all eternity. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that hasn't trusted Christ as Savior. You're not a part of the fold. You're not one of God's sheep. I would challenge you this morning to make that decision, make that choice, to trust Christ as your Savior so that you can have Christ as your good shepherd. He can lead you and protect you and care for you as he does for his own. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, how you care for us, how you sent your Son to die on the cross for us that we might be saved. Father, we thank you that your care does not end there. You continue to meet our needs. You continue to protect us. You continue to lead us according to your word. Father, help us to be encouraged by this morning. Help us to follow you. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to obey your word. Help us to obey what you want us to do. I pray that you would be glorified in each one of our lives. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know for sure that they are one of your sheep, I pray that they would take care of that this morning, that they would trust Christ's death on the cross as sufficient to pay for their sin, and they would accept him as their Savior. We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.